quickly before we close out that I had gotten some information from a listener in Thailand. We have listeners all over the globe. So I'm going to be sharing the story that they had sent along to me. And remember, you can do the same thing. You can send me a story, a recipe, anything special that you think I should be aware of. And as we're able to, we do try to include it in the programming. So send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And whenever you like, stop by and visit my website. We always enjoy having you come by. And that's DelphiInternational.com. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. It's that time of day for Radiance by Design here on BBS Radio. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor and always talking to you about shifting the energy in your environment, shifting the energy in your inner self in order to change the energy of your reality and to manifest and so on. And I've just met some wonderful people, Jay Lee and Paul Balsh, who live, I gather they live all over the world, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We've been traveling like nomads for many years, teaching and making a difference.
Wonderful. And one of the things that I think is so exciting for us here on Radiance by Design is, A, they're both very radiant people, and B, they can teach us more about creating and manifesting higher frequency energies for a myriad of reasons. And I'm going to hand the mic right away to Paul. Well, it can be both of them, but Paul, and ask him for an energy meditation so that we can all set the pace, set the tone, set the frequency of our day today. So, Paul.
Okay, thank you, Veronica, and welcome. First of all, I'd like everybody to close their eyes.
Unless they're driving. We don't have computers in the cars yet.
Unless you're driving. The idea is just to quieten your thoughts and to quieten your emotions. And as you center yourself and go within, feel yourself connecting with your heart, becoming aware of your own vibration, your own energy, and then visualize being in the center of a double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And imagine it's made of crystal, clear crystal. This particular experience is to help to clean your vibration right down to the DNA, right down to the energy, the chemical level, and the consciousness level within your being. And imagine yourself spinning, safe and secure, spinning forward, top to bottom. And as you slowly start spinning, the centrifugal force starts to cleanse and purge and clear your vibration. Whatever patterns or energies or resistances that you've been holding on to, as you gently spin top to bottom, you feel this cleansing, this energy washing and clearing and healing right down to a cellular level. And imagine as if you were spinning from top to bottom, at the same time they're spinning round and round. Another direction, another level, another frequency. Clearing, cleansing, and releasing any emotions, any energies, any resistances that you've been holding on to, so that you can feel pure and clear. Top to bottom, spinning, and side to side, round and round. And as you spin round and round from side to side, you feel this pull, this force pulling in two different directions. And then the double tetrahedron starts moving in a diagonal from right to left, forming a figure of eight, a sign of infinity, a figure of eight on its side. And you feel this centrifugal force pulling and purging from a different vibrational frequency, a different angle, cleansing, healing, purging, and releasing resistances. And these three movements, as they move in harmony together, combine to create an inner stillness as all the movement stops. Feel this stillness, this clarity, this peace. And in that state of stillness, focus on how you want to set your day, your evening, or your dream state. Release your intention in the stillness. And for our radio program.
We're ready. I don't know if I've released all my intentions yet. But let's have an intention that we're spreading a wonderful, wonderful wave of energy out all around the world. And maybe we'll even have some callers from other countries, which we've done recently. It's been very exciting. So Paul and Jay Lee, you've come in from...
Well, actually, we've just come in from Bellingham, but we've been on a world tour, and we started our world tour in December, leaving Australia. Mm-hmm. We went through South Africa, Johannesburg, and then from there we went and visited Brighton in the UK.
Wonderful. I love Brighton.
Fantastic place, beautiful people. We explored the UK and Ireland, and we found some magical places in Ireland, exploring with the Druids, did various rituals and feeling the elves and the nature spirits. It's a really magical land in Ireland. And then from there we explored and experienced our first true winter in Ontario, Canada. And it was quite an experience with snowstorms and ice storms. And
did you love it? Were you cold?
I absolutely loved it.
Were you cold?
I froze.
So those places know how to dress for it. Yeah. Well, I know both of you have had a terrific amount of training from what, lamas and from
a Dao master.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to say a little bit about that? I loved your meditation, and it certainly is a wonderful segue for all of us learning about sacred geometric and double tetrahedrons and so on. I'm also interested in. Well, tell us about the lamas, the Tao master, and some of the things that you've learned as you traveled or studied.
Well, one of the things that I would like to share with the listeners, when we were in South Africa recently working with the Tao master, he discussed how it's very important to be able to express and release your emotions. And your emotions relate to energy. We like to say energy in motion. So emotions need to be expressed. And what the Tao Master stated was when Tao Masters go through death, their body stays soft and pliable, whereas mm-hmm. most people, when they die, their body becomes in a state of rigor mortis, so their body stiffens up.
That's really interesting. What?
And his particular view on that was that Masters express the emotional experiences that they've had through their life, and because they have no attachment and they have no judgment left in their being, there's no energy that's left in the body. So therefore, that body is not crystallized or trapped at a physical level, and therefore the body stays loose and pliable. Whereas if people have judgments and attachments to their past experiences, that energy is still trapped in your body, and therefore it stays there, and the body dies.
Hmm. That's also, we keep talking these days about how aging is a lot about that, too, trapping emotions and energy in your body and creating a limited healing process. So what styles do they use for emotional release work? Or what were you taught?
Oh,
I never think of lamas and emotional release work, but of course it makes sense.
Well, actually, I was taught a particular type of energy healing where you work on the different layers of the physical, emotional, or the physical, the astral, the mental, and the spiritual bodies.
Okay.
And by using your physical, your etheric, and astral hands, you work on the different bodies to help release the trapped energies and patterns that build up through a person's life. That was something that was passed on from a Tibetan Lama that I've been working with for the last 20 years.
Is that a higher transmission, or is it something that we can all adapt to or begin to use?
It really needs to be transmitted on a personal basis.
It's from someone who's learned and...
Yeah, someone who's been initiated into that particular way of healing.
Hmm.
I think it's also very important to understand about emotions is that... we often judge the emotions and all the ranges that we have, from the very bad ones, the ones that really give us pain, to the other side of the scale, to emotions that give us immense amount of pleasure. We have an amount of judgment towards some of them, whereas emotions are just pure physical, they're just normal, they're energy that passes through us.
Mm-hmm.
And
if we let it pass through.
If we let it pass through. And what we discovered is the minute we judge an emotion, be it one of the more denser ones, it actually causes blockages in the body and cannot pass through the heart. So it sits there. So one of our messages to people is to feel, to allow anger and more dense emotions and love included to pass through your body and release it in the most elegant way. Express yourself using yoga or screaming into a pillow or automatic writing, but get it out.
Or even dancing.
And dancing, absolutely.
There's, when we were... working with the Tao Master, they reveal the symbol of the I Ching, which is the period that humanity is moving through at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically related to everything is breaking down.
Hmm.
Now, if we take the...
I like that, actually. I believe that very much.
And we can see that reflected in society, in relationships, in major world companies. Major systems are breaking down.
And weather patterns.
Yeah, weather patterns. And it's important for people to learn to create their own instead of relying upon other people's patterns and structures. And what's happening, if we take the analogy of a glass, a glass is an aspect of consciousness that is manifested in a particular form. And for consciousness to evolve, it needs to change form so it can express itself differently.
Okay.
So within the consciousness of a glass, it has a program that it wants to change so that it can evolve. So in other words, we have a program within our consciousness that we need to change or break down our old patterns so we can evolve and grow. And
so that can mean death, right?
Very much so. And the ultimate death is a conscious death, where you die consciously and you evolve from one state of consciousness to another, where you let go of the physical body and you shift your awareness into another state, another life.
Hmm.
And you don't lose your awareness. So what's happening on...
Are you speaking specifically of incarnation, or are you speaking of those amazing initiation periods in our lives, which make us very different?
Well, both my wife, Jaylee, and I have gone through a conscious death experience in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And having left the body and then coming back, that is a very powerful initiation to realize that you aren't your body.
Hmm.
And so that's very much... an essential part of the spiritual path to be able to evolve and to expand your awareness, but also in your physical death, when you choose to evolve beyond this plane, to reclaim your energies and your attachments from your environment and your world and from your body, so that you don't become earthbound when you leave the physical body, and then you can determine whether you go to another dimension or reincarnate back here.
And that has a lot to do with, again, going back to the emotions, clearing our reactions to many situations in life and becoming free from them.
Well, what really our emotions, the reactive aspect of our emotions, is revealing to us where we have karmic contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So by dealing with everyday life and everyday people, we expose ourselves to the challenges of everyday life, and that's very important. In the past, people would go and isolate themselves from the world and go through their spiritual evolution.
Isn't in a cave in the Himalayas.
Yeah, exactly, or becoming a hermit somewhere. But the challenge is to be involved and to participate, not to be a spectator in life, but to actually participate.
Mm.
And through that participation, challenges manifest which influence you to stretch and grow, and through that you express yourself differently and obviously you need to change form.
Mm.
So, for instance, if we take it down to a basic level, the practice of Tai Chi or a martial art or yoga, as you move your body, you are expressing yourself in different forms.
Mm.
And this is why people feel a tremendous emotional release when they're working with those types of practices.
Mm. I found doing yoga many years ago in a state of trauma was a great way to open up to my psychic doodah. I was snapping open. So it's just a good example of how it releases locked programs.
Eh? Yes, if we look at the body, different parts of the body relate to different chakras and different emotions. So as we have a conscious intention, and through breath and movement, we start to, first of all, release the blockages and the resistances. Then we start to awaken our gifts.
Mm.
And that's really what the true path of spirituality and yoga and moving the body is really all about, becoming more conscious of our true potential.
So for listeners, it's always wonderful. I always have a lot of participation, so I don't know if we're going to have callers today. But to awaken to our gifts is what most people ask about. What is my purpose? What are my gifts? How do I get to them? Do either of you or both of you have any like exercises, suggestions that listeners could do before they get trained by lamas or Dalmasters? That'll be you right now.
I definitely agree that probably one of the most fundamental areas that people can start working themselves is with their DNA.
Great. Okay.
And it can be simple, and it's not that scientific and pseudo out there and difficult to understand or reach. So the DNA would definitely be the place that you can begin to unlock all your gifts and start the transformation. And Paul does an amazing little skit on that, so maybe he's going to bless us with it.
Skits are great.
Yeah. You see, we have, obviously, if we look at the analogy of a hologram, that the smallest aspect, if we take the body for example, the cell has the whole blueprint of our physical body, the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a master blueprint within our DNA that is like a record keeper, and that has the whole programming, genetic programming, programming of the potential gifts that we can awaken. And what takes place as we are conditioned through our young lives, our thoughts and feelings, our attitudes and beliefs, and the choices and decisions that we make, the emotions that move through us, end up influencing the programming in that master cell.
Mm.
And that tends to limit access to our gifts that are inherent and innate within our being.
Because we've chosen to react a certain way and held on to that reaction, it blocks the flow.
Exactly. So in realizing with the analogy of the glass, everything is conscious.
Okay.
We have this understanding of a oneness. Everything has consciousness. So your cells have a consciousness. So your particular intention towards your body has an impact right down to a DNA level. And it's interesting how we tend to relate to different parts of our body in different ways. We have certain attachments to the way our face looks compared to our legs or our stomach or, you know, different aspects of the anatomy.
We do.
And that tends to create an imbalance and a disharmony within our physical body. Our body has an intelligence of its own, and we need to learn to work with that instead of trying to control it or to judge our body in certain ways.
Hmm.
So very much our attitude and intention towards...
The whole society doesn't believe that, though, really. I mean, you know, it's a mass thing.
Oh, no, it's all about image.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're supposed to look this way.
And you very much you package yourself so that you'll be presentable and accepted.
Right.
But perhaps the deeper message behind that is the need to feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go deeper than that, you need to learn to love yourself. So you don't need to look outside for that love. But when the love comes from the outside, it's a gift.
I'm just smiling inside, being a bit cheeky and thinking, if you really do that and you're not externally appropriate, in quotes, you probably would get a good job because people will find you so attractive. You know what I mean? That's the irony, is that, I wouldn't be able to work properly because I don't have the right appearance. But yeah. If you felt wonderful, people would hurry.
They start to... People pick up within 45 seconds, the subconscious mind assesses whether they like you or not. It's a subconscious automatic thing.
Mm.
And it's based on our conditioning, so... when we can go beyond the influence of that
program. You mean that they respond to your subconscious. Thank you for the caller. If you just wait 1 minute, I'll finish this thought. that the person that you meet is responding to what you're putting out there subconsciously. Is that what you're saying?
On one level, on a higher level, relating to the higher self, on an energetic level, has been attracted to what you're putting out. But then the subconscious mind, with its conditioning of how it judges and evaluates, will create an assessment of you in the first 40 seconds of seeing you, and then make a decision whether they will be attracted or repelled.
We don't have very long to dress up and look good. Take care of your subconscious. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, Veronica. This is Peg.
Hi, Peg. How are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad. How is my energy? I was kind of sad today.
Well, it looks like you're quite sad right now. Are you listening to the show at all?
Yeah, I just got on. I have to take off here in a little bit to go get a massage.
We have some wonderful people that are talking about your basic underlying imprint and the essential nature of clearing your emotions. So I won't go very far into your process today. I'll just let them do some teaching, okay?
Yeah, because I went for that job interview, and I do feel good about it, but yet I don't.
Ah.
That might be it, too.
Well, let's talk a little bit later, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
So carrying on, so then talking about, and if you do call in today, I think we'll direct directly to Paul and Jay Lee, and they're moving your radiance in order to help create the world you want. And we were talking about how, for example, that the lamas that at least Paul was working with, when they die, their bodies remain soft because they're not all packed with old reactions, attitudes, and beliefs that they've harbored within, and just the idea of being that flexible, it remains with us once we clear them. So it's a really important lesson, is to move the energy and move the old reactions.
The biggest message is to express.
Is to express.
Yeah. Express in some form, whether it's a form of movement, a form of being able to speak, a form of dancing, as we said, or writing. The energy needs to move. It needs to be released. Otherwise, it stays in your body and stagnates.
Intense breathing and so on. So, Peg, if you're still listening, it would be about moving that sadness and the... you have so many indecisions about the job, and it would be sort of letting your body move through all those indecisions and those tensions that you're feeling in your belly. I can see it right now. I just didn't want to do a long process on the air right now because I don't want to miss this opportunity of learning.
And what tends to happen through the heavier energies of fear and anger, studies have been done where through the DNA it activates only a small amount of the DNA, and the energy of love activates all of your DNA. And through the energy of love, your DNA has amino acids, and as these amino acid combinations become active, you become more receptive, more sensitive, and more awake and tuned in.
It heals the brain patterns which have been running these old. Yeah.
Yep, very much so. Obviously, you know, it says love heals all, and love's the most powerful force in the universe.
And are the lamas very loving?
They radiate such a beautiful peace and warmth. It's amazing.
And the Tao Master?
He's an incredible, graceful, and loving being. Very, very, so beyond that it's an inspiration to actually work with him.
Really?
Yeah.
And would you say that the Tao Master speaks of a similar thing, which is the movement of emotional energy and so on?
There's like a universal language out there that people have just applied their own images and their own language to. But it all comes down to the same thing, no matter what the images are, the same message over and over wherever we go.
Clear up the subconscious.
Absolutely.
Get in touch with your subconscious.
Do your work.
Radiate love.
Do your work.
Great.
It's interesting that we have a conscious mind. And if we take an analogy where we have a wall that's 1 mile by 1 mile square, our conscious mind, what our conscious mind can see is the equivalent to 1 millimeter by 1 millimeter on that 1 mile by 1 mile wall. So what we need to do is our subconscious and our unconscious mind are far more conscious than our conscious mind. So we need to learn to communicate to those other parts of our mind and allow them to express and communicate what we need, because they're far more in touch than the conscious mind in everyday life.
Can you give us an example on how to do that?
For instance, if you're trying to heal a conflict that happened many years ago, and you're using your conscious intellectual mind, you go into your subconscious mind, you could spend a long time exploring your subconscious mind because it's a very big place.
Enormous, yeah.
Whereas if you communicate to your subconscious mind, it knows what's in its own mind, and it can reveal the pattern or the particular issue that you need to get in touch with.
So you can say, reveal to me my connection with my mother or something.
Exactly, and then that can come through in a gestalt of awareness. It can come through a dream. It can manifest through a person that you meet, a television show, a book that turns up in your life. But it will express, and it will come to you. The biggest thing is when people request, ask, and you may receive,
mm-hmm.
you need to allow the mind, the subconscious mind, to communicate to you. You need to allow things to unfold instead of trying to grasp, trying to go out there and find them. That's when we get in the way of ourselves.
So when we're talking about manifesting, like The Secret and all these other things that people are working on these days, it's again about what's already stored in there, that if they're not clearing, they can't pursue.
It's important to understand what you ask for and what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You may be asking for something. You may be asking for $100,000. But if you have a program that believes you have to work hard to deserve having that, that's the program is what you want. What you ask for is your intention.
Okay.
And they need to resonate and synergize together. Otherwise, you will have to go through some sort of hardship to pay to earn the right to have that $100,000 instead of just manifesting it elegantly.
Right.
If you want to
hand it to me, that'd be great.
Manifest on the front veranda.
Let's talk a little bit about the DNA process, because what you're saying is it's relatively easy to shift the DNA. But I think a lot of people don't quite know what that means. Like, how do you do that? And you hear all kinds of fantastic things these days about the DNA.
One of the things is having a pure intention.
Okay.
So, and that's across the board in any spiritual discipline. Your motive needs to be beyond personal gain.
Okay.
So if it's for a selfish personal gain, then I would suggest it's coming from an egoic level. But the idea is within your DNA is basically locked all your potential for this lifetime. And through understanding the different levels of DNA and how to access this master blueprint, you can start to reprogram sensitivities, the aging process can change. You can determine your aging process. You can slow it down or you can actually stop the aging process.
Hmm.
But it's done psychically. And you need to, it's a fairly involved process, so it can't be done in 5 minutes.
I'll take this call in just a moment. I just want to ask one more question. What's the relationship between the subconscious and the DNA? Is there a kind of a retardant effect still of what's in the subconscious, what our beliefs are about the DNA, or you said it goes beyond the egoic level?
The subconscious holds the programming of this present lifetime.
Okay.
And so it's created like a holding pattern within the DNA master cell itself. It's a bit like an aircraft when they're waiting to land. If the airport is busy, they get told they have to go into a holding pattern and wait.
Okay.
And in many ways, the subconscious mind, because of its conditioning from our environment, has created a holding pattern and not allowing our gifts and our sensitivities to surface through the DNA changing, although it is starting to change because there's more and more people who are starting to become more conscious.
So the collective shadow is changing?
The collective shadow is changing. People are starting to tap.
Yummy.
Yep. People are starting to access more of the light, more consciousness. So therefore, we're starting to see things go through a metamorphosis. But we need more.
Right.
Yep.
Well, let's take this caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air, and you're speaking to Paul and Jay Lee Balls.
Hello. This is Martha.
Hi, Martha.
In listening to all of these processes, and the question that comes to mind is how do we reach those levels, the level of healing, the level of being able to alter the DNA, healing the conflicts? I hear what you're saying, but what is the method to reach these levels? Are they a series of questions that we must ask ourselves?
A very good question.
It is a good question. Thanks, Martha.
Okay.
First of all, we need to take ownership of any situation that turns up in our life. we have either consciously created it through our action and through our behaviors, or on a more subtle level, we have attracted those situations unconsciously or subconsciously. And we need to get to a point to realize that every situation that turns up in our lives is an opportunity to learn something about ourselves.
Mm.
And then through that process, we take ownership, we empower ourselves. So when someone triggers a reaction within us and we get angry, we tend to project our anger onto that person for upsetting us. Deeper down, we're really angry at ourselves because we don't have the self-discipline to manage our emotional state. One of the important things in spiritual work is true discipline is emotional discipline. It's not necessarily a strict regime of rituals, although they are powerful and they do help control the focus of the mind, but it's about emotional discipline, being able to manage our emotional state.
His emotional discipline is actually being able to be in truth with what's going on with you as well, like to know when you're being, whatever, passive-aggressive or angry and not, you know, to know that kind of thing as well.
Yes, very much to be in truth and to be honest with how you're feeling, and then to be able to express that and to express it in a constructive way. So that's the type of discipline where eventually you can determine if you to feel but not be affected by what you're feeling.
Mm.
We become affected when we either create a judgment or an attachment to an outcome.
Mm. Are you still there, Martha? I think she hung up. I hope you're listening. Yeah, that's really to be in personal integrity, to be in truth with what you are. So that begins the process of being able to absolutely change your own DNA programming, or it's unlocking we're looking at, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unlocking because the subconscious mind is a highly intensely charged emotional level of our being, and it actually relates to the second level of the DNA.
Mm.
So most people, if we look at the conscious mind, relates to the physical. The subconscious mind relates to the emotional level of our being. The unconscious mind relates to the mental level. Then we have the superconscious that relates to the God consciousness. And most
But you can't just go to the superconsciousness?
No.
Don't we all wish, right?
Yep. We need to go through all those levels and become more and more to embrace those parts of ourselves. But a lot of people try and bypass the subconscious because of having to confront and to really deal with intense feelings and emotions. A lot of people are afraid of their feelings.
I was fortunate to have a session with Paul the other day, and was, of course, surprised, not really surprised, but surprised that we're back at the mother-father contract stuff. Of course, I'm 100 years old, I always tell you that. And I have worked on myself more than once. Believe me, I've worked on this a lot. But it's fascinating to me as I follow your process, which is to listen to the CD each day, that, again, I see it's like this fine network of how many ways those old contracts impact everything I do. That still fascinates me, even though I'm 100, you know?
You know, what I'd like to bring forward here regarding that, which I think is very important, the first two things, the fundamental places people are really needing to work at this moment, is the place of the past, the present, and the future. And on the first level of the DNA, which deals with the more physical, fundamental genetics, you're dealing with the food you eat,
mm-hmm.
the exercise you take, that very fundamental intention you have to change your body, to change your being on a physical level. The second level of the DNA deals more with the emotions. And I'd like to link that in with the past, because so much of our energy is trapped in the past at experiences, at situations, and with people that we've had them with, that releasing those emotions is the second way of dealing with the second level of the DNA. The third one, which deals with the master within you, is more your future. It's the place where you're going to dream. It's looking in a vision at someone who's an inspiration and dreaming to be like that person, to have those gifts. So that's a very good way of dealing with the first three levels of the DNA.
It's wonderful. It's very helpful.
And dealing with the parents, we need to get to a position of being neutral. When we're neutral, we step out of duality of what was right and wrong, and we see the lesson for what it was. Then we can forgive ourselves for having attracted or created that situation, and forgiving the players, whether it be our parents, our siblings, for impacting on us that way. So it's very important to realize that actually between 0 and 3, a child is so open psychically that they're absorbing about 80% of the time.
Hmm.
And then from 3 to 7, they're roughly about 50% open. So by the age of 7, your personality is formed, and you've absorbed a lot of your energetic patterns by then. Then they start to manifest more and more in your body as you mature. So a lot of the work is really releasing a lot of the energies and emotions that we absorb from a very young age.
So the reactions that are sometimes, they seem a little too negative or this or that, it's not even about judging them, it's about remembering they've been there for so long that you don't have to rationalize them.
No, you don't have to go back and spend 5 years in therapy trying to understand why and how. The idea is to be able to go back, be neutral, feel and express the emotion and release it, and then basically forgive and let go, and then you can move on. You see, the heart has reasons which reason doesn't understand. So if we go back with our mind, we try and analyze and understand the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If we go back in a state of meditation and allow ourselves to experience it, but at the same time to be detached so we're not affected by the emotion, we can just let them move through us. Then we can experience and know that situation through feeling on a bodily being level instead of trying to understand with our mind. What we find in our work, so many people try to think their way through their feelings. So they're thinking their feelings instead of feeling their feelings.
Right, that's true.
And if you don't feel your feelings, you don't express them.
But I guess why I'm sitting here sort of going, well, there's a myriad of meshing and network of feelings that come to you from 0 to 3 or perhaps in the womb alone. So this is a very big and intricate process, isn't it?
Your whole environment is actually impacting upon you.
Right.
And from the knowledge that we have gained from the masters we've worked with, it's been stated and we see that the actual soul incarnates into the child's body on the first breath after the child is separated from the mother.
Physical.
Yeah, and I worked in hospitals and operating rooms for several years, and I saw that happening. The soul actually flashing through and entering into the body itself, and it's an amazing process.
Yeah.
But the physical body, the cells within the physical body as it's forming within the mother's womb, is being programmed energetically and emotionally from the environment where the fetus is developing.
Hmm.
So the type of relationship the mother and father have, right down to the point of conception, of the state that the mother and father were in when they made love with each other, has a big influence on determining the energetic makeup that will impregnate into the physical fetus as it evolves, and that will influence.
So even though the soul hasn't shown up yet, it's still creating some of the deeper reactions for the small baby, right?
Actually, through hypnotic regression, it's been explored that the soul is actually present at the point of conception.
Hmm.
And people have been able to...
But it doesn't enter until the moment of birth.
Yeah, it's a glow outside the mother's aura on the right-hand side.
Mm.
Yeah, and then the soul will enter. If there is no physical fetus to be born, the soul won't turn up because it knows there's no vehicle to enter to explore and have an incarnation.
Mm. So many directions we could go. I want to go back to the DNA because it's such an important subject. And Jay Lee, you were talking about the first level is food and
astrophysical level, astrogenetic programming,
right,
where the amino acids and the proteins and everything work to influence the physical body.
And allergies and stuff like that?
Yeah, very much at that level. Yeah.
If we look at the second level of the DNA, it relates to the emotional level and it's akin to the subconscious in subtle ways. But it relates to dealing with your life lesson.
Okay.
And your life lesson...
And that's cellular, isn't it? It's from the soul. The life's lesson, isn't that very tied with the soul?
There's different ways to look at it. You have your life lesson is to be able to overcome your challenges and obstacles so that you can be you.
Mm.
And then your life mission is to create an environment where you can create that possibility for other people so that then you can change your world. So looking at your life lesson on a personal level is that particular aspect of life that continually challenges you, that's something in your life that creates a strong reaction within you, and it's been a pattern through your life.
And probably that largely pertains to fear.
Pertains to fear.
Yes.
So it's something like loss or repeated loss.
Abandonment, betrayal,
abuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
And interestingly, if we look at the analogy of when we incarnated here,
mm-hmm.
when souls incarnate into a body, they stay connected for a while to the other side, but then through programming and conditioning, we lose touch with the spiritual side.
Right, for sure.
Which with the other side. And so then we feel terribly alone. So one of the biggest fears people have is feeling alone and disconnected from the source. But interestingly, the most important thing that we need to learn to do is to take time out to have solitude to reconnect with ourselves. And as we look within, we can reconnect with that source.
Mm.
But we need to create the solitude. And in a modern, very busy daily world, there's so many distractions and things happening, especially in the big cities, that it's very difficult to think straight and to meditate because there's a lot of interference. So we suggest people to be able to step out in nature. And one of the exercises the Lama gives the students is to go out into nature and to approach animals. And if the animals are attracted to you, you are in a harmonic balance. If the animals are repelled by you, there's disharmony within your being.
Mm.
And so more and more, as we need to feel in harmony in nature as well as in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
Although the cities do influence our minds a lot more.
There's a lot done with horses these days, isn't there, on that discord that comes from ourselves and the horses. That's really important. So I want to keep going back to, if people were going to want to work on their DNA or to, you know, so making peace with all of our emotions and being in truth and in integrity with the moment, and then...
Well, that would be the first step, is to be able to express, to forgive themselves, to express their angers, their fears, and to be in a position where you become, to feel at peace, to feel at home with whatever you're feeling without judgment is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
That will start to free up the energies on a cellular level within your body.
Mm.
Then the other thing is, you need to be able to get a picture of the DNA. It looks like a ladder that's twisted.
Right, we've seen, these days you get quite a bit of...
you can look up on the internet.
You bet.
And you can take that visualization into a meditative state, or you can take that visualization into a dream state and set your intention that you want to start changing the emotional patterns in your life. You want
mm-hmm.
to start releasing resistances or a particular situation or issue that you're working on.
And we don't have to be scientifically accurate on how it looks, do we? Just metaphorically aware.
We can focus on our health as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, on helping to heal. Actually, the healing layer of the DNA is the ninth layer.
Okay.
But intrinsically within our own being, we have an intelligence that knows. If you request healing, then that layer will start to become more and more activated, and that ninth layer will then start impacting upon the physical DNA to create healing.
Hmm.
So that's where miraculous healing takes place. And we see it every day that people are healing themselves of cancers and different ailments.
And it can work even though they haven't cleared all of their history, you know.
Yes, no, that's correct. And then what it actually does, it allows you more time to then clear and to learn from the experiences that you have. Yes, for sure.
How did we get limited anyway? I've heard all kinds of things about why we have a two-strand DNA. Or do you want to get into that?
On a physical level, the two-strand DNA, I believe, is enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're only actually accessing about a third of the amino combinations in our DNA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
So on a physical level, the DNA is... it's about 3% of the complete cell, and the RNA is 97%.
Hmm.
And the RNA, in many scientific journals, is called junk genes. We don't quite understand the full implications. And we're only actually accessing one-third of the DNA, which is 1% of the complete potential.
Well, that's encouraging, and we've got a whole bunch right in there.
It's fantastic, because it means we've got so much more potential to grow and evolve and to access. So
what you're saying is, we do some clearing and we get into the integrity of the moment, the truth itself, and have clear, unblocked intentioning, and then use visualization and focus.
As you're looking at that master cell,
mm-hmm.
you have that pure intention and the request to heal, to transform, to express, to release whatever it is that you need to deal with in your life.
Okay.
And then you need to allow that process to unfold. Your DNA will respond to that intention, because it is aware. But what happens quite often is you will start manifesting situations that reflect helping you to heal those imbalances.
So it could make things a bit worse for a bit.
Definitely. Yeah, if you've got an issue with anger and you make a decision that you want to release your anger that's trapped in your DNA so that you can be...
You can get real mad for a while.
Well, interestingly, I worked with a yoga teacher in Sydney, Australia, and he had a healing, and it was about releasing anger. And he left, and on his way home, someone chased him in a car. And this guy was risking his life trying to run him off the road. And the guy, so he wasn't dealing with his own anger. He was dealing with somebody else's anger.
Oh, interesting. And so he was attracting.
He attracted that to help him see anger reflected in his life.
Hmm.
And he was able to stay neutral while this guy was trying to ram him off the road.
Hmm.
And he was able to laugh. It was about a 15 or 20 minute car chase.
Wow.
So it was quite exciting.
Movie stuff.
But it was amazing how he dealt with that particular experience.
Huh. Yeah. That's great. So if people call it up, I'm always telling people, call it up and you'll experience it. So if you're saying if you call it up, you call up something you're trying to deal with, then you may see the reflections in your life amplify for a while. And you just stay on top of it and keep clearing, right? And keep being the truth of your feelings.
Very much so, as long as you don't judge the situation.
Right.
If you can stay in your power, stay neutral, in other words, have no judgment, and then just allow the situation to unfold and focus on truth, purity, and stay centered.
Okay.
And speak your truth.
Now tell me this about the double tetrahedron, which I just love, and we use it as a, sometimes we use it as a manifestation device or a way to heighten your, purify, heighten your frequency and improve your manifestation. Can we say that in the double tetrahedron there is more clarity in terms of your integrated purpose and in terms of releasing past reactions and so on? Do you have anything to say about the geometrics?
By using the DNA
and
the spinning of the DNA, you being in the center of it, it helps to clear and purge and clean your DNA and your being on an emotional, mental, physical level. And it actually changes your vibrational frequency, your resonance. From that perspective, you are more in tune, more in harmony. So you're more effective at creating the future that you want.
Wonderful.
Or more effective at healing whatever it is that you would like to work on as well. You actually, if you do it correctly, you'll enter into a state beyond time and space. And then the healing can take place in the past, in the future. You can impact any way you want.
Wonderful. I'm going to encourage the use of that. It was just wonderful. Now, I'd like you to talk more practically, or maybe this is more fancifully, I don't know, about the workshops that you two do all over the world. What is it you do all over the world that we can hear about, and how can we tune in and find out what you're up to next?
We run programs. They vary a whole range of energetic healing to personal development, emotional release technique, energetic healing.
Working with a shadow.
The tarot.
Oh, the good old shadow.
Hypnotic programming.
Ah.
So there's a whole range of 15 or 20 different programs that we offer. We offer, we're offering now online a living empowerment program.
Wonderful.
Which creates a foundational level where people can awaken, understand how they consciously create their reality, understand how to manage the dynamics in relationships, learn how their mind works, and to start changing the programming. To reprogram the neuron net of how their brain has evolved and formed.
Wonderful. How do people sign up for that?
If people are interested, they can email us on...
trinrginc@yahoo.com.au. And I can repeat that. It's trinrginc@yahoo.com.au.
And you can always email me, Veronica, at VeronicaEntwistle, and I'll update you if you lose their email. But it sounds wonderful. And we have a caller. Should we take one more caller?
Certainly.
You're on the air, and this will have to be swift because we're almost done.
Hi, this is Elizabeth. Hi, Veronica.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you? Elizabeth's a wonderful healer on her own.
Yeah, it was very interesting to listen to you. And I have one quick question about the different levels of DNA. Can you just expand a little bit on that?
Well, we can briefly touch on the different levels of the DNA. The first level relates to the physical genetic programming that we receive from our ancestry. The second level of the DNA is the emotional level relating to our life lesson and those reoccurring challenges that take place. The third level of our DNA relates to awakening the master within us and stepping beyond duality, where we step beyond trying to balance the light and the dark, the opposing forces, where we see everything being an opportunity to learn, so it's beyond judgment. The fourth and fifth layers combine together, and they relate to your true self in this lifetime, so your true name in the Akashic Records. The sixth level of the DNA connects with your higher self to create harmony and balance.
Hmm.
The seventh and eighth layers relate to the Lemurian levels of dreaming. So the seventh level awakens the medical intuitive aspect of you to be able to perceive at a different dimensional level within people on an energetic level. The eighth layer of the DNA is the master Akashic Records of all lifetimes. So all the masters, all their knowledge of all lifetimes. The ninth layer that we touched on relates to miraculous healing. The tenth layer within the DNA relates to enlightenment, remembering and belief, remembering who you truly are. The 11th layer relates to balancing the male and female energies, and it's connecting more with the goddess force. And obviously the 12th layer is God. And the way that you connect with God is feeling at home within your body, within your emotional being, within everyday life, wherever you are, to create a state of what it means to feel at home. And that's preparing you to go home.
Wonderful. And I have to say goodbye, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much for all this information.
Thank you.
It's great. Yeah, that's a lot. And I'd like you to give your contact numbers. We're almost done. We have about 3 minutes. So if you give, again, your contact for the online classes, which sound really interesting. And I wanted to talk to both of you about empowering relationships, but we don't have time. So maybe you'll have to come back on.
For sure.
We love actually dealing with relationships, by the way.
Well, you're a pretty good example as far as I can tell.
Thank you.
We'll shake this tree a little later and see if it's true, but it looks pretty good.
You're welcome.
So we're at trinergyinc@yahoo.com.au.
Trinergy Inc.?
Yes, trinergyinc@yahoo.com.au.
And you can actually inquire about anything, even if you have just a question to ask. We're very willing to email you back with the answer we can give.
It's wonderful. I've really enjoyed having you here. I know that my own experience with Paul's session, I haven't been worked on by Jay Lee yet, but it's really had a huge impact on my inner and the freedom from certain old reactions. I'm going to live to be about 200, I figure, by now, right?
Hardly. And look 35 for the rest of your life.
That'd be good, yeah. And let's see, I really appreciate you both being here. And I'll see a lot of you on Thursday night at Jackie's show at ET Healing at 8 o'clock on BBS Radio. We're going to continue talking about the shadow and grief. We've been really working on releasing grief and so on. And I will see most of you next Tuesday at 4 p.m. here on Radiance by Design on www.bbsradio.com. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. And those of you who have been making comments, I love it. Email me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle, no H in Entwistle.com. I look forward to hearing from you and speaking to you again next week. Many blessings.
And thank you for having us, Veronica.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you,
both of you. Oh, I'm a little early. Oh, goody. We can talk for a few minutes. That clock is wrong, and I knew that I was going to upset Dawn if I went over. So here we are still on. We've already said goodbye, so we're just going to talk until they hook us off the stage.
Well, actually, time is an interesting concept, seeing that we've just manifested the opportunity.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
When there's an exercise that...
Now, is that locked in the DNA? Yeah.
Time has been programmed into the DNA. Time used to be our servant, but now it's our master.
Okay.
For most people, so they're caught in not having enough time.
Hmm.
So an exercise, every evening write down three tasks you will do the next day at a particular time.
Okay.
And you do that for 3 weeks, and you make sure that you achieve every single task. and you will reprogram your mind, you will learn how to manage time, and it will change your life. Write down three tasks every evening, the next day.
Every evening that you're going to do the next day, right?
Yeah, the task you're going to do the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So it teaches you about time management, but it makes you conscious. Some people say it's 5 to 10. I need to do my exercise in 5 minutes. They look back at their watch and 20 minutes has gone by, and their consciousness has drifted off somewhere else, and they became unconscious. They weren't present. So it's very important about being present in the now, being conscious, so you can make the most of being here.
And if you don't get it right, start all over again.
Yep. Do it for 3 weeks, and it's a fantastic exercise. It's very simple.
It does sound simple.
Change the times, change the tasks, but it will change your life.
Wonderful. I'm going to do that. Do you know anything about bending time?
I have been initiated into a Tibetan technique of bending time.
Wonderful.
We
have 2 minutes. Can you teach us all how?
We can say we've done it.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah.
It's a little bit too involved to try and cover in 2 minutes.
I'm sure. I'm just teasing. But
time is flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So for one person, they feel the day dragged on. And for another person, the day went very quickly. Or like when people have car accidents, time slows down.
Mm-hmm.
And so before you wake up every morning, you can program your mind in how you want your day to be. And you can determine whether your day will be quick or slow.
Hmm.
You can determine your work period of time will be quick, and then your recreation after work will slow down.
Hmm.
So your experience of that will be fast and slow, and you can actually determine and program that. Just before you open your eyes, you're in what's called a hypnagogic or hypnoidal state. It's equivalent to a hypnotic state.
Hmm.
And that's where you have access to your subconscious mind. And from there, you can program the type of day that you want and how you will experience this concept of time and how it will affect you.
Excellent. See, time only exists in the mind. So your attitude towards time is what rules your life.
Hmm.
A lot of people...
That sounds so simple, doesn't it? It's really a mind bender, yeah?
A lot of people are experiencing as if time's speeding up.
Mm-hmm.
But what it means is it's the time it takes for you to experience something now is much faster than what it was before. Because as the vibrational frequency of the planet is evolving, we're becoming more transparent and more open, so things can move through us much faster.
Mm.
I'll leave you with this. You are an immovable object, and there is an irresistible force, which is consciousness, flowing at you.
Wonderful. I love that.
What do you do? You cannot move, and you cannot resist the force. What happens?
Well, you just stay still, don't you?
You stay still. But
everything changes.
You have to allow that force to flow through you.
Mm.
You have to become open.
Transparent.
Transparent, okay.
Clear. And if you have judgments or attachments, you're not clear. So it's the irresistible force, being consciousness, wanting to flow through your DNA, to flow through your body. It will push you, and you'll feel challenged because you're not clear, you're not open. So the clearer and the more open you are, the easier consciousness can flow through you. Experiences will move through very quickly. You'll learn elegantly, and there'll be no resistance.
No resistance. Well, that's a wonderful thing to end our show with. And I'll repeat everything I said earlier. We'll see you next Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And thank you so much, Paul and Jay Lee,
for
coming from all around the world to share with us.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take.